In this edition of On the Campaign Trail, we'll talk with a political journalist about the incumbent governors around the nation, including Wisconsin's Governor Walker, who find themselves in very close races. We'll also talk about the GOP advertisements on domestic violence and the battle for control, political control, of the U.S. Senate. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 9 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Thursday, October 9th. Plus, we'll welcome any thoughts, observations, questions you might have about some of the issues that are making news on the campaign trail at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Let me welcome our guest. We are happy to have with us James Holman, a reporter for Politico. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy. Good to be with you.
Yeah, thanks a lot. You are almost home via the radio. I see here you grew up in a suburb of the Twin Cities.
Exactly. I grew up just south of St. Paul and have spent a lot of time in Wisconsin over the years.
Well, welcome back via the radio. Let's talk about the race for governor in Wisconsin. We just heard on our WPR newscast that the very first debate between Governor Walker and his Democratic challenger Mary Burke takes place tomorrow night. This has been a really close race throughout the entire year. Every poll showed it tied, essentially, a dead heat, neck and neck. But the very last poll from Marquette University did show Governor Walker 50% to Mary Burke's 45% among likely voters, I believe it was. Is this? Do you think this race is shifting?
I do think Scott Walker has always had a 2 or 3 point advantage here. We always knew it was going to be close. You know, a lot of people in Wisconsin, as listeners know well, either love Scott Walker or hate him. And we always knew that it would be a very small subset of independent, undecided who would decide this race. And, you know, in a lot of states, 25%. In Wisconsin, it's 6%. Obviously, the state is one of the more polarized states politically in the country. And so I actually was in Wisconsin last summer, not this past summer, and Walker's top people told me, you know, we're going to win this race, but it's going to be by 2 points. And that was before Mary Burke had said that she was even serious about running. It was when other people were still looking at it. People had this conventional wisdom that Walker would be really safe because he had won the recall election by 7 points in 2012. But the Republicans knew that obviously it was kind of a special election and that there were a bunch of people who voted for Walker that June and then voted for President Obama's reelection in November. So they always knew they would have a tough race. And then I think it got a little tougher for them than they realized, partly because of the jobs numbers. Anyone who has a television in Wisconsin knows, you know, he promised to create 250,000 private sector jobs during his first term. He's at a little over 100,000. That's a pretty potent line of attack. And so, you know, Democrat Mary Burke has come onto the scene, and she kind of was able to tighten polls, not so much because people liked her, but because people dislike Scott Walker. I did a big profile on her during the summer and spent a full day with her. And, you know, she has a very interesting background. It's an interesting race. She's really popular with both kind of national women's groups like Emily's List, and Labor obviously wants to beat Governor Walker. And so it continues to be a close race. But in a story I wrote last week, I had to force myself to rank the top 10 governor's races in order of competitiveness, which is actually good because it really forces you to make decisions instead of kind of obfuscating. And Wisconsin is lower on that list than I think a lot of people would think. I think it ended up at number 7. In terms of the list of sitting governors of either party who could go down. And that's because some other races have actually become more competitive over the last few months. And the feeling when you talk to national Democrats and national Republicans and kind of the key operatives in Wisconsin is that the race in Wisconsin has drifted a little bit toward Walker. But still, it's a competitive race. Anything could happen. And the debate tomorrow. And Mary Burke has enough money that she's going to be able to stay competitive on the airwaves until the end.
Well, that piece that you wrote caught our eye, and that's one of the reasons that that we got in touch with you, because we wanted to talk about the race for governor and some other issues that you have been writing about. But let's talk just a little bit about that. The piece was that there are as many as a dozen governors fighting for their political lives. So why are so many incumbents in trouble?
Back in 2010, it was obviously a great year for Republicans, and there was this big national Republican wave. And so you had basically a dozen Republicans get elected governor in states that are traditionally Democratic. So in the Midwest, you know, in Iowa, Wisconsin, and Michigan, all went for President Obama twice, and all three of those states elected a Republican governor in 2010. And now all three of those Republican governors are up for re-election. Ohio would be another, just in the Midwest. And so around the country, you have a bunch of people who are in states where it's hard for a Republican. The other thing is the economy. So in Pennsylvania and Maine, two even bluer states, Republican governors were elected in 2010, but neither of them had been able to produce significant economic gains. And now both of them look likely to lose. And so some of it is just that these states are returning to their natural complexion. It's kind of interesting because I know we'll talk about Senate races later in the hour, but in the Senate races, all the incumbents who are up for re-election were elected in 2008, which is why Democrats are defending seats in North Carolina and Arkansas and Louisiana. And all the governors were last elected in 2010, which is why you have a lot of Republicans defending seats in places like Wisconsin and Maine. So that's part of it. But part of it, too, is just a lot of parochial local factors. There are some surprises. I think people might remember Sam Brownback from when he ran for president in 2008, a longtime Kansas senator. He left the Senate, became governor of Kansas in 2010, and set about making these pretty dramatic changes. And he said he wanted to experiment with conservative ideas. So he slashed taxes and then had to slash services and make a lot of cuts. And so he's actually really unpopular. So in a state as red as Kansas, it actually seems more probable that Sam Brownback will lose re-election than Scott Walker will. And then on the Democratic side, it all comes down to the economy. In Connecticut, you have a governor, Dan Malloy, who had to raise taxes and had to cut union benefits, and he did it in a really ineffective way. He didn't kind of convince people that it was the right thing to do. So he's unpopular, and he could well lose as a Democrat in Connecticut. So there's different reasons, but it actually is historically unusual because, you know, in 2012, no incumbent governor lost. In 2010, only two did, even in that big year for Republicans. Mm-hmm. So this year could be different. I think you realistically could have five or six governors still go down.
Yeah. You did, in that piece, have Governor Walker, like, at number eight, I think it was, out of 10 that you ranked, and then there are two wild cards that you didn't rank. In that analysis, you were saying that, I guess, the conventional wisdom is that Governor Walker's supporters and campaign financiers are going to spend a lot of money and have him pull this out in the end. Is that right?
That is a big part of the Democratic fear. So when you talk to the key operatives who deal with governor's races, they just worry that even though the race still looks really competitive on paper, and even though both candidates look, you're not, Governor Walker obviously has a fundraising advantage, but they just feel like the big outside groups are not going to let Scott Walker go down because he has presidential ambitions, because he is such a, you know, record of doing things that kind of the big donor class really appreciates in terms of big reforms that he talks about. And so the Democrats worry that Republicans will come in the last few weeks and just kind of hammer Burke. And you've seen some of that from, which we always expected, of course, from the Republican Governors Association, which, you know, is its job is to reelect Republican governors. And they've been attacking Mary Burke on plagiarism in her jobs plan. And so I do think in the final weeks, you will see more Republican ads than Democratic ads. And that's a factor. But at the end of the day, it's remarkably kind of structural in when you the larger dynamics in the race. It's still close. It's still competitive. Burke could still find a way to win. But Governor Walker just has this kind of built-in, stubborn 3-point edge, and that could hold through the end.
Coming up, we will continue our conversation with James Holman, a Politico reporter, and we will examine next how the GOP in Wisconsin and elsewhere is trying to convince women to support Republican candidates. And we'll talk some about that ad you may have seen featuring a domestic abuse victim supporting Governor Walker. And we'll talk about the significance of this coming up in our next segment. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. This is our segment each week when we examine issues that are making news on the campaign trail. And we'll continue talking about the race for governor in Wisconsin and some other national issues coming up in just a moment. But first, Bill Martens joins me to encourage you to make a pledge to Wisconsin Public Radio. And Bill, you know what? We did not make the goal last hour. But actually, if I really wanted to split hairs, we were three short when the hour ended. And before we even started asking for pledges this hour, about at least four came in. So we may have made that goal. So we all have to decide if we're going to open up this beer or not. You know what? If we make the goal this hour, for sure we'll open up the beer. How does that sound?
That sounds great. Okay, so there we go. So we heard from 27 of you last hour. Thank you very much for those. This hour, our goal is 35, and we've got 10 so far. And we have a dollar-for-dollar match up to $3,600. These dollar-for-dollar matches have been really successful this drive so far, so I think we're going to do well here. And this generous match is from anonymous donors, including a member from Green Bay, and it means they'll match every dollar you give. So you give $50, they'll kick in $50, and your pledge is essentially good for $100. So that's their way of encouraging you to join them in supporting Wisconsin Public Radio.
That is way better than us drinking a beer. I didn't even know we had that challenge grant going on.
Yeah.
$3,600 to match your pledge. That this is fantastic. So you can double the impact of your pledge. You can essentially double your support to Wisconsin Public Radio with your pledge of any amount. Any amount whatsoever, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And of course, any amount will automatically enter you into a drawing for a WPR trip. We're sending two people to France, to the Rhine River area in France and Germany, and Alaska. So there's some extra incentive for you to make that pledge of support to Wisconsin Public Radio and get your pledge doubled in the process. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You know, on this show, you hear multiple sides of an issue, and we have guests from many different perspectives, so you can make up your own mind. And you can count on hearing a fair and inclusive conversation. Together, we keep up on the issues of the day, we have some fun, and we follow our curiosity, and we learn something new every day.
Yeah, there's really nothing else like this on the radio. It truly is something special. And your support is a vital part of what makes it possible. The single biggest piece of our funding is listener support. So make your pledge during this, our fall membership drive at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 and support the programs you count on.
And remember that every pledge up to $3,600 will be matched. This is just a wonderful challenge to encourage you to make your pledge to Wisconsin Public Radio. So pledge now and it will be doubled. Dollar for dollar match. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Sarah from La Crosse says, being a student at UW La Crosse, it feels good to listen to news and my community from a perspective outside of campus. I'm happy to give what I can. Well, thank you very much, Sarah. Good spirit there. If WPR is something that's of value to you, discussions like this on the governor's race, make that pledge of support to Wisconsin Public Radio, and we'll continue to provide those programs for you. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Thanks very much, Bill. We'll talk to you a little bit later. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Back now to our conversation with James Holman, a reporter for Politico, who is talking with us about issues making news on the campaign trail. Talked some about the very close race for governor here in Wisconsin and in some other states around the country. Now let's talk briefly about the Republican Party, the GOP ads that are featuring victims of domestic abuse expressing their support for Governor Walker. Let's take a listen to one that's playing in Wisconsin right now.
My ex-husband beat me with a baseball bat, threw me in a garbage can filled with snow, and left me in a frozen storage locker to die. At that time, I was pregnant, and I lost the child I was carrying. But I fought to stay alive for my other two children, and today I am fighting for Scott Walker. I've worked with Scott to help create funding and new laws to protect women who are affected by domestic violence. He cares about women and Wisconsin families. I trust him.
So what do you think of that? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. James Holman, what's going on with this?
So Republicans have a gender gap, as everyone knows. They've struggled with female voters the last few election cycles, and they wanted to get out front early. So what Governor Walker is doing is one of, I discovered at least 20 ads now from Republicans who are saying, I'm very hard line on domestic violence. I have no tolerance for it. And a lot of them feature these women because Republicans have decided this is a very potent way politically to push back on, you know, the so-called war on women playbook. And you're seeing it in Senate races, governor's races, House races, and Walker's ad, I think, is probably the most strong of those ads in really having this evocative story we just heard. And then the pivot to the politics, which definitely rubs some people the wrong way, but it's in keeping with the governor's kind of feeling that he needs to aggressively respond to attacks that he's kind of anti-woman, anti-abortion. And this week, after Emily's List, that group I mentioned that's supporting Mary Burke, went up with a $750,000 ad campaign attacking Scott Walker for mandatory ultrasounds and trying to restrict abortions. Walker immediately went up with a response ad that features him talking straight to camera softly, defending his position on abortion, saying reasonable people can disagree on the issue. And we found out yesterday that that ad has actually been in the can for weeks and had been shipped to TV stations ahead of time, and they were just waiting for someone to run an ad attacking the governor on the abortion issue. And then they told all the TV stations to start running the response ad. So the Walker campaign knew these attacks were coming, and so they were trying to get out front with the domestic violence ad and with this abortion ad. But, of course, the domestic abuse issue has become much more salient and much more part of the national conversation since the Ray Rice episode, the Baltimore Ravens star who has now been indefinitely suspended for really beating his then fiance in an elevator and was caught on camera. Right. And so because more people are talking about it, you've seen ads from both sides. And also at the congressional level, on the federal level, last year Congress voted to reauthorize the Violence Against Women Act, which is now just had its 20th anniversary in the last few weeks. And Republicans delayed the authorization. They didn't want to include, or some didn't want to include, protections for LGBT folks, and some didn't. There was a lot of controversy over certain protections for Native Americans, and there were various legal technicality concerns. But a lot of Republicans in the House and the Senate are getting hammered for opposing the Violence Against Women Act, and so they're running domestic violence ads to try and reassure voters that they actually are against violence against women.
Well, we have just a minute to go. Any sense as to whether this is going to narrow the gender gap?
It is showing signs that there are signals that the gender gap is going to be smaller this year than it was in 2012. And there are a couple races that are really playing out entirely on women's issues. In Colorado, in the Senate race, for example, basically every ad from the Democrats is about personhood and abortion. Mm-hmm. And it's less of a factor in places like Wisconsin than I think it probably was 2 years ago.
Well, we will check news from NPR and Wisconsin Public Radio, and then we'll continue talking with the Politico reporter, James Holman. We'll talk, we'll take some of your calls about these issues involving the governor's race, and we'll examine the battle for control of the U.S. Senate coming up after we check the news. Reminder that we're in our pledge drive. Double your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. So how important will the first debate between Governor Walker and his Democratic challenger, Mary Burke, tomorrow night be in terms of the race for governor in Wisconsin? We'll be carrying that debate live, by the way, at 7 o'clock tomorrow night, and we'll talk about it on Monday morning during our state capitol report. We'll ask our guest from Politico about what's at stake coming up in just a few minutes. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is coming up now on 7:37 on this Thursday, October 9th. Joining me is Bill Martins because we are in our fall pledge drive. It's actually winding down, Bill, and we have a very special challenge going on this hour.
We do. We have a dollar-for-dollar match from anonymous donors, including a member from Green Bay. Your gift of $50 will become $100, $100 turns into $200, and so on, up to $3,600, and there's still room for you to get in on that. I'm looking at our board right now, and we're right about $2,000 raised so far, so that's good work. There's still a lot of room, like I said, for you to get your pledge in and have that doubled this hour only. But you got to make that pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Definitely, let's not leave a penny of this challenge Mm-mm. on the table. And if you pledge any amount, you are automatically entered to win two tickets on a WPR trip. You can choose between a holiday tour of Europe along the Rhine River, you can take a trip to France, or you can join me on an Alaskan adventure. It's going to be fun. Double the impact of your pledge and enter the drawing right now by giving at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We're talking about the governor's race this hour, and that's something we're going to be doing a lot of. Can you believe the election is less than a month away now?
Really,
wow, that
fast.
Really came quick, yeah. And we have a lot of coverage planned for these next couple of weeks here. Not only will we have more discussions like this, but we've got candidate forums coming up, our second round of candidate forums, and I think we've invited 23 of them across
candidate
various races for Congress and some statewide offices. We just got a confirmation late yesterday or early this morning from Brad Schimmel's people, so we'll talk to the Republican Attorney General candidate. That'll be on Tuesday, October 21st at this time, right, actually. We'll be talking to him. And we do have invitations out there, of course, to Susan Happ, the Democratic challenger, and there's also a Libertarian in that race as well, Thomas Nelson. So hopefully we get all of them and all of the other candidates as well. And, of course, there's also a poll that we're doing with our friends from St. Norbert College that we'll be talking about in 2 weeks. So a lot of stuff.
Lots and lots of political coverage. We should mention, too, that Central Time in the afternoon is going to
yes.
be doing all the candidates that we don't do. So you mm-hmm. will hear all races of statewide significance or all federal races. So we're going to have the candidates on.
Absolutely. And then, of course, the big debate is tomorrow night, and our own Sean Johnson, state government reporter, is going to be one of those moderators, and we'll talk to him Monday during the state capitol report. So if you miss the debate tomorrow, make sure you tune in Monday, and he'll make sure that you get all caught up on what happens. So if that election coverage is something that is important to you, decide what you think that's worth, and then translate that into a pledge to Wisconsin Public Radio and get that pledge doubled. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Yeah, do it because you believe in an informed citizenry, and that Wisconsin Public Radio is the place to be for information on politics and the public policy issues that really affect our lives. So help us pay the bills here at Wisconsin Public Radio, because we do count on listener support for a good 40% of our budget. It's the single most important slice of the budget pie. Do make your contribution of any amount. Donation levels vary all over the place. We have people who will do $50 a year. We'll have people who will do $5,000 a year. So you decide how much you want to give to Wisconsin Public Radio and make it. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And no amount is too small. And of course, any pledge of any amount will enter you into a drawing for two on a WPR trip. We're sending a pair to France and the Rhine River towns in France and Germany, and also to Alaska, which is a tour that you're leading, Joy, and I know you're excited about that coming up in, is it July?
No, it's in June.
In June.
Yeah,
June.
It's June 12th through the 21st. It's going to be fun. We're going to fly out to Seattle and play there for a little while, then hop on a boat and go up to Alaska. We'll see the breathtaking scenery. We're cruising through the Inside Passage. Mm-hmm. We're going to see the glaciers, and we're going to see lots of sunshine.
Because hopefully a whale or two. That'd be cool.
Hopefully see some whales, and we're going to take a rail excursion and see some other sites inside. It's going to be wonderful. And that's one of three trips you can choose from if you are the winner of the drawing. You are automatically entered into the drawing with a pledge of any amount, and the pledge of any amount will be doubled right now.
There you go. Doubled up to $3,600 and still room for you. We're at about 2,400 and going up, so that's great news there. And we're looking for 10 more of you to make a pledge by 8 o'clock to reach our hourly goals. So a lot going on this hour, and you can help us achieve all of those goals by making a pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Well, thank you to Betty in Mansfield, Ohio, who says, thank you, thank you, thank you for the WPR iPhone app. We have recently moved to Ohio from Wisconsin. I love hearing Joy on my morning walk with my golden retriever. Aw. My partner and I really do miss Wisconsin, but Ohio is also a beautiful state, and she gets to listen to Wisconsin Public Radio. So
yeah.
She says, keep up the good work. Thank you very much, Betty. Please do make your pledge. Join Betty. Join the tens of thousands of others who not only listen to Wisconsin Public Radio, but support Wisconsin Public Radio. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
That's WPR.org, 888-202-2552, and help us reach that goal this hour.
All right. Thanks, Bill. Talk to you later. We will get back now to our conversation on politics. We've been talking about the race for governor in Wisconsin. We've been talking about how the GOP in Wisconsin and elsewhere is using domestic abuse ads to try to convince women to support Republican candidates. And we will also talk about the battle over control of the U.S. Senate, wondering if Democrats are in danger of losing that. And we'll take your calls. We have callers waiting who want to talk about the issues we've already spoken about. So you can also join us at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. And I also promised that we would ask our guest, James Holman, senior political reporter for Politico, to briefly tell us how you think this first ad between Governor Walker and Mary Burke, how important is this going to be?
I think it's fairly important, the debate tomorrow night, because the race has started to shift toward Walker. This is, I think, Mary Burke's moment to kind of bring the debate back to Walker, but it's also a good opportunity to hash out some of these things we've seen so much on TV. You know, two very different pictures of the economy are on the air right now in Wisconsin. Scott Walker saying you could fill up Lambeau Field with the 100,000 jobs that created, and Mary Burke, you know, saying that's nothing. You promised 250,000. We're trailing in the Midwest. And so there's been a ton of back and forth, and I actually think the debate tomorrow will probably be like two ships passing in the night, and both sides will kind of be throwing out their talking points. But it's promising that there's good moderators who hopefully will kind of press them and help kind of force that conversation about who is right, and also to make the conversation more forward-looking about Wisconsin's future instead of looking back toward the past 4 years.
Let's take a call from Bernie in Elkhorn. Hello, Bernie.
Hi, good morning. I wanted to say that that domestic violence ad that Scott Walker is airing is very crass. It's as if to say, you know, is it to suggest that Mary Burke, for some reason, is in favor of domestic violence? I mean, it's like saying you're against murder. It's just a very crass, emotional thing that has nothing to do with his policies whatsoever and nothing to do with Mary Burke's policies. And also, I hope at the debate that Mary Burke brings up the issue of the objective redistricting. I think that she, in fact, I know that she, many Democratic candidates and some Libertarian candidates as well, have signed on to the pledge, I think it's a common cause, to institute objective redistricting. And I think that's something that can resonate with voters about just basic fairness and, you know, an element of fair play and democracy. I hope she brings that up and doesn't leave it off the table.
Any sense if that is an issue that is likely to come up? James?
Yeah, definitely. It seems like an issue that's likely to come up. I don't know how many votes that will move, you know, at the end of the day. On the point about it being crass, I have heard from, you know, you hear from a lot of people. I think these ads are controversial, but a lot of times the people who are upset about the ads already have kind of made up their mind. The question is who, like, are the now 4 or 5% of people who are going to decide the outcome of this Wisconsin governor's race? What do they think about the ad? And I don't, it's not clear what they think.
Yeah, I mean, what policies are Republicans offering when it comes to domestic violence? I mean, is it just having, I mean, is there a Republican crackdown, so to speak, on domestic violence?
Well, that's controversial, too. So I've actually asked all of them this, you know, and they kind of, I think someone like Dan Sullivan, who's the former Attorney General of Alaska, he is the Republican running against the Democratic Senator Mark Begich. And the Democratic senator ran an ad attacking his record as Attorney General, saying he gave lenient sentences to sex offenders who then got out and repeated their crimes. And so he responded by having a woman who worked for him as Attorney General talking about how he really was tough on domestic violence and had zero tolerance, and that she can personally vouch for him. So some of it is responsive, but Sullivan can also say he invested this much money, or Walker for that matter, this much money in this domestic violence program, or did this initiative, or had this. You know, they can point to some specific spending that they've had on domestic violence, but ultimately it's more a tone issue. And to the caller's point, I think, you know, Democrats say, yeah, of course we're all against domestic violence. It's how are you going to stop it from happening, and how are you going to protect victims, et cetera. And Democrats say that on the policy merits, that Republicans aren't actually practicing what they're preaching.
Yeah, let's go to Kelly in La Crosse next. Hello, Kelly.
Hi, how are you doing this morning?
Good, thanks.
I just wanted to bring up the point about the domestic violence is that I see Scott Walker as being incredibly contradictory in the sense that he has these commercials out saying he's you know, supports women and he's against domestic violence. But I almost see him as contributing to the demeaning of women because he has eliminated or attempted to the equal pay for equal work in the workplace. And I think when you're telling people and you're sending a message that women aren't equal and they're not they are not entitled to being treated equal, that he's actually contributing to the demeaning of women. And I'm highly offended by that.
A comment, James?
Well, yeah, that's right. And so part of the issue is, you know, you can't just run an ad. You have to articulate, if you're Scott Walker, why you oppose equal pay legislation. And, you know, he has policy reasons. I've heard him lay out, I've asked him, and you know, heard him articulate kind of his perspective. But I do think it's broader than domestic violence, and it really does fit in this broader matrix. And that is why, you know, the fact is Scott Walker is going to lose among women, and he's going to win among men. And that gender gap is built in. It's not going away just because of a commercial or two that he's running.
Let's go next to Ann in Greendale. Hello, Ann.
Hello. I just wanted to, well, I was thinking about the debate coming up, and I thought it would be interesting if the question would be posed to Governor Walker that if he is reelected governor in Wisconsin, would he see through his term, or would he then campaign for the presidency.
Good one, Ann. That has been asked of him before. And yeah, you asked it too, James?
I asked it last month, yeah, when I talked to the governor. And, you know, he won't rule out running for president, certainly. I think everyone expects that he will. And, you know, obviously he's not going to run if he loses. But, yeah, I don't I it's surprising because I also tried to get Mary Burke to attack Walker for that. You know, I asked her, don't you think, like, why aren't you criticizing him? And I was actually really surprised because that wasn't something that she really wanted to criticize Walker for. She was trying to stay focused on the jobs attack and didn't want to say he should serve out his full term. And so that is kind of interesting because it isn't really an issue. You're not seeing advertisements. The governor's point is that people are talking about him as a presidential candidate because of the big things that he's done in Wisconsin and because of the reforms that he's passed, and that Wisconsin should be proud that there's all this buzz because it's really about the state as much as him.
Yeah, so we're running out of time, and here I promised that we would also talk about the battle for control of the U.S. Senate. Where does that stand right now? Is this are Democrats in danger of losing the Senate?
They are definitely in danger. It's too close to call. You have right now, you have five or six races that are going to decide the Senate, and they're really toss-ups. So there's Republicans need to pick up six seats. Three of them should be pretty easy. The next three are much harder because you have to defeat sitting incumbent senators. But if the election were today, I think it really could go either way. Republicans see some promising signs on their end that some of the key races are starting to move their direction. But Democrats definitely could wind up losing the Senate in 3 weeks.
Yeah. And one final question for you, just because I saw a report on Politico yesterday. Well, I don't think it was yours, but it was that Jeb Bush is, I guess, getting ready to run for president. Do you think that's going to happen?
I ultimately do not. That's one of the things that people on the D.C. cocktail circuit love to argue about mm-hmm. more than I think anyone else. I'm of the mind that Jeb Bush is not going to ultimately run, but there are signs that he is. He's telling some of his people to keep their powder dry, not commit to other people. He's keeping up a pretty aggressive travel schedule. He's helping fundraise for a lot of a lot of the key Senate candidates and governors. But I think that he's just trying to keep his profile up. He wants people to talk about his issues, education. But it's hard to see him actually going through with a campaign at the end of the day. But I know there are people close to him who are saying, you can do it. You have this path to the presidency. The reality is that it would be really hard for him because his position on immigration, he supports big comprehensive reform, and his support for Common Core, I think, would also be hurtful in a Republican primary context. So he would be able to raise a lot of money, but I'm not sure he would be able to actually make it through Iowa and South Carolina. And as a result, I think he's pretty clear-eyed about that and doesn't want to get beat up really bad. So I would be surprised, but it's also, you know, anything is possible.
It sure is. Well, I want to thank you so much for being with us. I hope we can talk again.
My pleasure.
James Holman, senior political reporter for Politico. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine with Bill Martins, and this is the Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Membership Drive. And Bill, very good news to report.
Oh, yeah. We heard from 62 listeners so far this hour, and we still have 6 minutes to go. So that's number one, very good. Also, the challenge grant that we had this hour from some anonymous listeners, including a member in Green Bay, that was up to $3,600. Yeah, we're about $5,500 now. So we blew that out of the water. You guys are great. Thank you so much for the support. We really appreciate it. Thank you so much. But we do have 5 minutes left, so let's see if we can get a few more here just because we can. And you can make that pledge at WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
There's still lots of good reasons to support Wisconsin Public Radio. We keep you informed and entertained every day. You get value from this program. You hear all about the the issues making news on the campaign trail during this special segment that we have been doing every Thursday at this time. We have the Week in Review coming up tomorrow. We have our state capitol report on Monday. So you get lots of information on news and current affairs on this show and so much more. Plus, you probably love the People's Pharmacy. We're talking with the co-host of the People's Pharmacy coming up in our next hour. Garden Talk, Zorba Pastor on Your Health. Many, many other programs that you have come to rely on.
That's right. And if that's the programming that you love and support, translate that into a pledge to Wisconsin Public Radio. A pledge of any amount is greatly appreciated. By the way, if you make that pledge of any amount, you're going to be automatically entered into a drawing for two on a WPR trip. We're going to three places here. We're going to Alaska. We're also going to France and to the Rhine River, part of France and Germany. So some great trips. Could be yours when you make that pledge of any amount at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Yeah, these WPR trips are fundraisers. And if you don't win the drawing, you can choose to go along on them as well. There's more information on the website. But we thought as a special incentive to get your support during the fall pledge drive, we would offer you the chance of winning one of these trips. So if you're the winner of the drawing, you can choose from the three trips. And Jim from Sauk increased his sustaining pledge, and he says, "Tell Joy when I win that trip, I'm going to Alaska." That is great. Jim, I hope you win, and I hope we have fun going to Alaska. I am hosting the trip to Alaska and looking forward to that. So enter yourself into that drawing and make a pledge of support to Wisconsin Public Radio at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You know, we've been talking a lot about politics, and rightfully so. It is an election year and a mighty big election near at that. And we've heard from lawmakers and political scientists and observers. But it's also nice, like we did today, to hear from a national perspective. We talked to the senior political reporter from Politico, getting his take on our governor's race. And certainly it's a race that the nation is watching, and it's everyone's paying close attention to this. And we're happy to provide that kind of coverage to you, and we'll keep doing that for you, provided you make that pledge of support to Wisconsin Public Radio, WPR.org, or 888-202-2552. And what is that in your hand, Joy?
I have in my hand a bottle of Capital Dark beer. I brought this in. It was the only bottle in my refrigerator. That's all we had. And I brought it in as a prop for our discussion last hour when we talked about the beers of the Midwest. We offered a book on the beers of the Midwest. And I said, if we made our goal that you and I would toast with this bottle of beer and I'd open it up on the air, we fell three short of the goal in our last hour. So we couldn't open it up on air. But I suspected that some of the pledges that came in at the very top of the hour belonged to our beer hour. So I think we might have made it.
And there was a technicality, yeah.
And I did say, though, if we made the goal this hour, that you and I would do this, Bill. So are you ready to have a little a toast?
Let's do it.
All right. I don't know if you're going to hear this or not, but let's see here. Did you hear that?
I heard that, yeah.
All right, there we go. We only
the
got
lid
about,
is off.
We only got about 30 seconds here, but we'll give you a little bit.
Whoa, little bit? That's a big sip, Joy.
Better get that foam off of the board. Our engineers are not going to like that. Boy, does that smell good.
Oh, wow. You're not kidding.
All right. Cheers, Bill.
Cheers.
Yeah, thank
good job,
you very
everybody.
Much. Thank you very much. Make your pledge now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Got a foam mustache now.
How is it? Do you like it?
Yeah, not too bad.
Well,
thank you.
I'll have to wait until I shut my mouth before I can drink. WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Thanks very much.